Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence.
You look curious, like, is it really on the mark?
You look irritated.
I'm tired.
Oh, okay, well, we'll talk about that in a split second. Welcome to On the Mark, WKOK live telephone talk show. On the Mark, as our show progresses, we're going to hear from Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay. We're going to find out why Joe's irritated or tired, and then we'll host open phones. We have two emails, probably two of the comparable remarks about LGBTQ. So this is about that bullying situation at a school. Okay, well, we will definitely follow up on that. Thank you for the updated email. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. You can call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Our show is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots more about them at sunburymotors.com. We invite you to do as I've done. Go to sunburymotors.com. Build your next Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications. Before you even go to the lot to find out if they have that exact same vehicle already in hand, go ahead and build up the new one. Pick your color, your interior accoutrements, some of the accessories. I always put a tow package on an F-650 and then donate it to Shamokin Dam so they'll have another truck and to do all the good hard work that they do there.
Well, that's very nice of you. We accept.
Glad to help.
Just give me the keys now, and I'll just take it on the way back.
Well, they're here. If you feel around there, you'll find them. They're here somewhere. And you can do that, though. You can build a Ford truck as big as you want or a car as small as you want. You can get the Kia or Hyundai cars. Some of those vehicles are a little bit smaller, but ultra-highly efficient on the fuel-wise. Hybrid models available, fully electric, Lincoln hybrid, or fully gasoline-capable. Lincoln Navigator SUVs.
What does fully gasoline-capable mean? Just out of curiosity.
Well, you can
use it on gas?
Well, yeah, that plus flex fuel. Some of them won't take flex fuel. Some cars don't take flex fuel, but some do. So it's the lower ethanol brand, so you can do that. But anyway, key here, I want you to walk away from this conversation saying, boy, if I go to the Sunbury Motor Company, no matter what I want to have happen, they can make happen. So they can super serve
you. I want to
be
young again with hair. Can they make that happen?
There is one asterisk at the bottom of this. No miracles.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. All right. But yeah, please, Sunbury Motor Company. All seriousness aside, we are very glad that they are our sponsor.
Amen.
1-800-795-9565 is a telephone number that Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay has phoned. She is now the candidate in the 85th District. Once again, she is a Democrat. She ran last year unsuccessfully, or as some politicians always say, I ran successfully. I just didn't win the election, but it was a successful run. And
correct.
Right. How about
good
that?
Good morning.
You participated. Yeah, you popped your head up. You got known.
Well, she was also elected to the Sealands Grove School Board. Nominated,
correct.
All right. Well, fabulous. Well, welcome aboard, Dr. Rager Kay. Your reaction to the reselection as you as a candidate in the 85th District?
Yeah, I was extremely proud to be able to be selected to be the candidate again this year. I appreciate and have been humbled by the whole experience, the first election, and I'm just honored to be able to have the opportunity to run again.
Big issues in the race. What are the top topics in Harrisburg that have to be talked about?
Well, I think, you know, most recently the biggest issue was the budget, and, you know, trying to work together across the aisle was the big issue. I visited Harrisburg on Monday and was able to sit in on a few of the different sessions, and it was exciting and kind of disappointing all at the same time just the frustration of trying to see party leaders reach across to try to work together. There was a lot of headbutting going on. And that's something that, you know, I stood for in the last election and I'll stand for in this election as far as doing what's best for the people, not necessarily their political party.
How far apart are the Democrats and the Republicans in Harrisburg? I mean, we have a compromise budget, so they must be able to maybe not compromise, but at least agree on some things.
Yeah, it took a little while to be able to get down. It certainly wasn't everything that the governor had put forward in his proposal, but it also wasn't everything that, you know, the Republicans tried to come forward either. So I was happy to see that they were at least able to reach a compromise and pass a budget.
You have referred in the past to the voters of this area being somewhat, I won't say lacking intelligence,
misguided,
voting Republican all the time. Why are you misguided to vote Republican?
Well, I think the thing for me is not so much, you know, it's not a matter of somebody being miseducated or at least, you know, least educated than compared to somebody else. The thing that it frustrates me, especially similar to when I see my patients in the office who aren't being taken care of by other physicians, it's similar when I see the constituents of this district misguided in the fact that they're being misled by their leaders. You know, I'm not a fan of injustice, and I certainly don't like to see people being taken advantage of. And I think that a lot of times the people in our area are taken for granted because they're a majority of Republicans, so it's easy for somebody to run under the Republican ticket and be elected strictly based on statistics. And they take advantage of that opportunity rather than doing what's best for the people.
How do you view them as being misled by their leaders?
Well, I certainly think that, especially for certain areas of our district, you know, we don't have high-speed broadband internet where people can hop on and look up to get information on their own. You know, a lot of times newspaper is the only access that we have in certain areas of our district. And when a leader stands up and proclaims something to be true, we want to believe them because they're in a position of leadership or power. But unfortunately, not everything that they say is true. And we want to take it for granted. And I think that's where people are being taken advantage of sometimes, because they'll believe what they're told because they want to believe it. They want to feel that person in power is trusted. But unfortunately, it's not always the case.
Have you heard of this new invention, radio?
Yes, I have.
Oh, great.
And I certainly enjoy listening, but I also know that, you know, there's often times when, you know, leaders will say something is best for certain people, but it really only benefits them. And as much as I enjoy listening to your all show in the morning and listening to the radio to get news, not everybody does that. They'll take somebody's word for granted over finding out whether that information is real.
All right, so what should a discerning voter do, or what should a discerning person do? Some of them don't vote, so the first thing they should do is vote.
Right.
But, okay, so what
Absolutely.
Should a discerning person do around here, and what should a discerning state representative, Dr. Rager Kay, do?
Yeah, I think the best advice I could give to people is to look at the person themselves as a candidate. Look at what they've done, what they're doing, what they stand for. You know, for myself, being a physician, basically my whole job is to take care of people and to do that unbiasedly, taking care of them regardless of their religion and gender and political affiliation. And I'll take that to Harrisburg. My opponent, kind of right off the bat, has represented division. You know, one of the first statements that he made was that he wants to win the district for the party, keep it in the Republican hands. It really shouldn't be about, you know, wanting to divide and conquer. I want to be able to unite and lead the district. And I certainly think that that's what makes me the better candidate.
But aren't the Democrats hoping that you'll be the elected person?
I'm sorry?
Aren't the Democrats hoping that you'll be the one who gets elected?
I absolutely agree, but I also, you know, I've received support since the nomination for the Republican candidate. I've received support from reputable members of the Republican Party reaching out to me, endorsing me over my opponent because of certain, you know, questions about this division, the nomination process that went on for them to choose their candidate. There's a lot of issues that people in the Republican Party are even having with their own party. And when I see them reaching out to me, giving me support, of course, I'm humbled and honored. But it also goes to show me that there are people that are willing to think who's the better person, not necessarily the better party.
Well, the last time a Democrat was successful in seeking a spot down here was a fellow by the name of John Showers.
Yeah, that was the year I was born, Joe.
Was it really?
I'll be 40 next month.
That's how old.
Gosh, I was here and voted in that election. You're making me feel old. But you know, that time the Republican Party was fractured. There were people who Representative Reno Thomas at the time put his foot in his mouth, I guess you could say, and caused some problems. Yep. And here, your opponent was nominated by only one vote, and that's
correct.
And a split between the counties. All the Snyder County voters went for someone else. All the Union County voters went for him. Do you see the party, Republicans, being split this time around, and do you think that gives you a leg up?
I do absolutely see that there's a great division within the Republican Party. Primarily, you know, there's been some issues, I'm sure, in the past, but even the nomination process and the way that it went about to have those nine people voting, there's controversy surrounding how they were selected, and I think that even members of the Republican Party are seeing that it wasn't exactly a fair process to be able to give every Republican committee person a voice in the process. And I think that has caused a huge uproar, because I feel that there are lots of Republicans who don't even feel the best candidate was selected to represent them.
All right, your opponent, David Rowe, sent out a news release as soon as you were nominated. Let me see if I can get that up on my computer. But it immediately starts out with really making sure that folks are clear that you're a liberal Democrat. He says he welcomes his liberal Democratic opponent to the race. I welcome Rager Kay to the race and look forward to contrasting my common sense conservative message with her far left liberal agenda. When she ran against Fred Keller, that was rejected last year. She wants bigger, more expensive government, more job-killing regulations. In contrast, I'm fighting for stronger economic growth and more family-sustaining jobs, lower taxes, a robust farming community, and less burdensome regulation for small businesses. Is this what you're talking about, this fomenting and accentuating division, rather than just saying, I represent good government, period?
I agree. I think that certainly that just goes to further show what I'm speaking about by division. You know, I think one thing that people have to keep in mind to further represent the fact that my opponent is all about division is, you know, not only did there have an issue with the nomination process, and he comes right off the bat talking about, you know, wanting to divide, keep it in Republican hands, you're not representing your whole entire district if you're specifically coming out and saying you will only represent a party. You know, I certainly think that my opponent not only has a lack of experience in areas that I think are important to this district, most certainly public education and property taxes, but, you know, everything that he's done in his short tenure as East Buffalo Township Supervisor has gone on to cause turmoil, divided neighbors, and other municipalities. And now we're seeing division amongst his own party.
Okay, so you're ready to fight back. We got you. All right, please stand by. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll open up the phones. We have one email that relates to this, so we can ask that. Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay is on the news line. Her first appearance since being named the candidate in the 85th District for the special election August 20th. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Dr. Jennifer Rager K. The doctor is in.
You know, it always comes up, Dr. Rager, when Dr. K, Rager K, when you take on something like this, people are going to say, okay, you're a wife, a mother, you have a very busy medical practice.
Oh, brother, Joe.
How are you going to balance the time? Well, I am only asking that because somebody asked the question. Yes. I'm just passing it on.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm not so sure people would ask me the same question if I were a male.
Exactly.
But I'm certainly able to say without reservation that not only do I think I would be able to keep a full-time practice and hold the position, you know, there are several other members of the house that have other occupations and other professions. But I will tell you one thing. And after the last election, that was pretty much the only kind of slack that I was getting from people saying that, you know, how are you going to do that and take care of your patients at the same time? And after discussing with my husband, if I'm elected, I'm willing to consider dropping down to part-time practice in order to make sure that the people in this district feel trust me that I'm going to be able to take care of their needs as well.
Okay, willing to consider dropping down to a part-time practice. Somebody's got to say that's equivocating.
Then I can clarify that by saying if elected, that is most certainly something that my family and I have discussed that can happen as far as me dropping down to a part-time practice in order to be able to make sure that the people of this district feel comfortable knowing that I'm giving them ample support and attention as well as my practice being part-time.
Well, I asked the question because someone passed it on, but being perfectly honest, I know you fairly well. I like you a great deal, and I know you're an extremely capable person, and I have no doubt you could balance anything put in front of you.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And one of our listeners says Dr. K is she says the guy for me. So there you go. you're nominated for the good old boys club already.
I appreciate it.
We appreciate that. All right. Other Harrisburg issues, other things that have to be addressed. This week we saw things pop up like minimum wage, and a number of other issues. So run down some of the key issues that you're going to talk about.
Yeah, I want to bring up the minimum wage issue, and it's certainly something that it's scary for people to think about the fact that, you know, raising minimum wage, there's a lot of concern out there for small businesses closing, you know, a lot of concern. But I think what we have to look at is look at other states that have done so. The fact is raising the minimum wage stimulates the economy across the board. You know, we're worried about mom-and-pop shops closing, but it's actually... the minimum wage is going to be raised across the board, not just for certain businesses. And one thing to keep in mind is it's the hardworking middle class that stimulate the economy the most. It's not the rich because they tend to, you know, save and invest their money. They're not the ones out there buying, you know, furniture for their house, electronics, necessary items for a house to run. So if people are able to make more money, they're going to be able to spend more money. So it goes directly right back into the economy. And so I think that's something that is another one of those miseducations that it's easy for people to have the fear of raising the minimum wage. But when you look at it and you look at other states that have done so, it actually benefits everyone.
Well, there's been a lot of talk in Harrisburg about changes to the voting procedures. One of them is, a bill that passed out of either the House or the Senate this week. They've been bouncing this back and forth that would put an end to party line voting. How do you view that?
Yep.
Or straight party voting, I should say.
Yeah, straight party voting. Being able to fill out that one bubble that just says straight Democrat or straight Republican. And I don't think that's a bad idea, primarily because of the fact that I think... again, the voters should know who they're voting for. Not every Democrat represents Democratic principles. Not every Republican represents what you may be thinking as Republican principles. So getting to know your candidate and knowing who you're electing to be in that position of power is important. I certainly understand that, you know, it's a little bit easier to go in and not know the candidates and just say, well, I'm going to be comfortable just voting for my party. But you don't always get what you vote for.
Well, do you see it? I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
I was just going to say one of our good listeners always sends the three same questions. Your view on the death penalty is the first of those.
Yeah. So certainly I think looking at the death penalty goes beyond, you know, the morality of it. And the fact is, no study has ever shown that the death penalty is a deterrent from committing those egregious crimes. And so not only is it not effective, it also takes up a huge amount of the taxpayers' dollars to be able to house a person on death row. You know, you have so many stays that they're allowed, and it drags on for years and years and years, when in the end, does it really make a difference? And the fact is, if it's going to cost the taxpayer money, taxpayers more money and not be effective, then it certainly should be reconsidered.
Are your view on abortion?
I'm a physician, first and foremost. And again, I think, you know, when we take the morality question out of it, the ethical question, and we get right down to it, that's a decision that needs to be made between that woman, her partner, and their medical provider. You know, it's not certainly something that I think the government needs to be telling us what to do with our bodies. You know, I certainly think that the government has enough, they have enough of input right now. I certainly think that's one less thing. Also, I'm a lay minister for the United Methodist Church. That type of decision is something that needs also to be made between that woman and their God. And certainly, again, not something the government needs to have anything to do with.
Or as I saw the headline yesterday, the formerly United Methodist Church, as they work through important topics of modern life. All right, and gun control, the third item.
Yeah, I certainly, you know, I am a huge proponent of the Second Amendment. I certainly exercise it myself. I'm a gun owner, and I have a concealed carry permit, and I exercise that daily. But I also think that there's a reasonable middle ground. You know, it's about safety of our children, and it's also about safety for patients who have mental health issues. You know, certainly that's something that I think that, you know, we're missing the forest for the trees when we all talk about taking guns away or not taking guns away. We're missing the bigger picture and the fact that it's not a matter of the gun. It's just trying to make sure that the guns don't get into the hands of the people who are not able to handle that decision-making process. And so that's pretty much what it comes down to for me.
Let me ask you this question. You would be a representative of a lot of people whose political philosophy is pretty alien to the one you espouse. So let's say you had an issue come up where your sense of the district was that their conservative values were going to predominate, and you had to decide whether or not to vote their way or your way. Which way would you go?
Good question. And I also think that, you know, when it comes to, I get that question a lot, how are you going to represent me and I'm not in the same political party? It goes beyond that. When I talk to constituents in this district from all parties, I find out that we have more in common and we think more alike about values than we realize. You know, we're forced to pick a label. We're forced to pick a party, primarily, especially if you want to vote in the primary election in the state. But the fact is, when it comes down to values and morals, most of us want the same things. We want to be able to be healthy, to live a good life, to be able to have a roof over our head, you know, pay our bills, feed our children, and make sure that our kids get a good education to be able to further themselves when they get older. So when it comes down to it, it's not a matter of what's a conservative value, what's a liberal value. It's about what's valuable to the people of this district.
But the devil is in the details. You know, we could, you and I could agree that the things you've just said are entirely true, but it comes down to something. Let's take the current controversy in Harrisburg, where the Senate voted down a decades-old procedure, a program to give $200 a month to people deemed unable to work. The Republicans felt that that's not a good thing, that the money, there are no restrictions on the money. The Democrats are saying, well, it's some of the most vulnerable people. In this district, right, you may well find the majority of people would support the Republican position that this is time to end this thing. So how would you, there would be a detail, how would you deal with that?
Right. Are they supporting the position because it's a Republican position, or are they supporting it because they really feel that it's a good decision? I think that's when it comes down to, that's, again, it goes back to what I said about being misguided. You know, I got a lot of flack from the last election from saying that, but I don't pick that back in any way, shape, or form. The people of the district only know what they're told when it comes to, you know, getting facts for themselves. And if something is explained to them in a certain way that makes sense to them, then they're going to believe it. But if they're just told, you know, and they believe, oh, I'm going to pick that because my Republican leader says so and that's who I voted for, that's the difference. When you get down to the heart of the matter, research, finding out what the important issue is, why somebody feels a certain way, it doesn't become a Democrat and Republican issue anymore. A Republican issue, it becomes more of a what makes sense for this district. You know, one thing I think that's a good example is the
We only have 30 seconds left. Go ahead.
Sure. The unfortunate closing of Woodmode. You know, that's something that has drastically altered our district. You have almost 1,000 people out of jobs. They're needing that assistance programs that they may have felt before, that their Republican leaders have told them that, you know, those are your good, hard-paying tax dollars going to waste for people who don't want to work. Well, you know what? It's not all about that, because there's people in need. So that's the difference.
Where can people get more information on your campaign?
You can certainly look me up on Facebook. You can go to my webpage, drjenforpa85.com, or give me a call.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Jennifer Rieger. Okay, thanks for checking in this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Gentlemen, have a good day.
Take care.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jennifer Rieger. Okay, Democratic candidate for 85th District State House. This is WDK, okay, Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the W.
All right, over there.
Yep, WKOK Live Telephone Talk. My cell phone is busting here. Welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. There we go. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is now wide open. If you have a comment about or would like to remark or support to Dr. Jennifer Rieger K or criticize any of her remarks, feel free to call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And you can text us at 70236. If you are a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message, like yesterday's Text Connect message, or you can just start up a new one at 70236. If you haven't signed up for WKOK's Text Connect, it's our opportunity to send you breaking local or national news, state news, opportunities for us to tell you that there's closed roads around here, tornadic weather on the way, weather warnings, dead celebrities, you name it. We use Text Connect for that system, and we don't send you any commercial materials. We do not sell your list. No matter how much Joe wants to pay, we're not interested in selling the list.
So it's up to 3 peanut butter pies now from Tudor Pies.
All on the same day or spread out?
However you want them.
Well, you're speaking the right language. All right.
I'm getting close. Finally, I'm getting close.
Under very many circumstances, we would not sell your telephone number to anybody else. So that's the Text Connect system. And so we appreciate you signing up. Good news for motorists who've been delayed in Northumberland. Duke and Water Street is open. Some of the front street restrictions are clear. The detours are over temporarily, and the traffic signals are activated. Deactivated at this time is the traffic signal at Orange and Front Street, where there was a temporary traffic signal there. That'll be on hiatus for 2 months. It will come back after Labor Day when a new section of King Street detour goes into effect. It also will be accompanied by a second traffic signal at Orange and Water Street when that takes place after Labor Day. So we'll be looking for that in the weeks and months ahead. Route 11 is open from Shamokin Dam towards Northumberland. You no longer have to go through Sunbury, but you can. It's a nice town. Lots of folks did it in the past anyway. Saves time under many circumstances. So good news for folks on Front Street in Sunbury. You won't see the tremendously long backups of traffic all the time on Front Street. So that's the Northumberland update. Chance to ride a passenger train comes up this Saturday when the Union County Veterans 4th of July Parade Committee has train rides Saturday. Sergeant Major Kevin Bittenbender, chair of the parade, says they're grateful to North Shore Railroad.
All their support personnel are volunteer for that weekend. The security, the transportation of the engineering part of it, bringing the trains up to Lewisburg, having them stay overnight, and then also during the actual rides itself, mm-hmm. and then taking the trains back to Northumberland.
Tickets still available at eventbrite.com. You can link to that at WKOK.com. The Pennsylvania Senate devolved into a partisan shouting, name-calling, and bare-knuckled and procedural tactic Wednesday over a bill to end a decades-old program that offers $200 a month to people deemed unable to work. The bill ultimately passed the Republican-controlled chamber 26-24 with two Republicans siding with Democrats against it, but not before a tense scene unfolded that senators on both sides roundly said they never had witnessed in the chamber. The Republican demand to eliminate the program called General Assistance has become particularly contentious, drawing demonstrators to the Senate gallery Wednesday and sparking passionate debate in the House in recent days. It'll be up to the Democratic Governor Tom Wolf to decide on the bill. Wolf opposes eliminating General Assistance, but Republicans tied to it subsidies for Philadelphia hospitals, and Wolf has said in the past he opposes those, so he won't say if he's planning to sign this bill. And NBC News coverage of the first Democratic debate of the 2020 campaign season was marred by a technical glitch that led President Donald Trump to tweet that the network should be ashamed. The snafu in the middle of the debate left viewers and candidates confused by the crosstalk apparently caused by a failure to turn off microphones of the NBC personalities who had left the stage. Otherwise, NBC ran a substantive, fast-moving debate that occasionally veered off course, primarily due to 10 candidates eager to make the most of the limited time. 10 more Democratic candidates will take to a Miami stage tonight for a second session, also televised on NBC, MSNBC, and Telemundo. The debate was punctuated by candidates and hosts who occasionally spoke Spanish to the audience rather than speak in English. Pandering comes to mind, but
wish them very, very great success in their campaign to be president of Mexico.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We have open phones right now. Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay received an email, Joe. Somebody's not happy about Democrats.
Said, did the doctor see everyone's medical insurance premiums reduced by $2,500? And did everyone keep their doctor and their plan as promised?
Yeah, more criticism of Democrats in general. And to that end, we go to the phone. Mike from Bloomsburg, thank you so much for calling in. You are on the mark.
Yeah, I just came in the middle of Dr. Jen's talk there, and she sounded pretty interesting to me. I wish I would have heard the whole thing. I'll have to go back and listen to your podcast. But in any case, the one thing that did stick out in my mind, what I heard her say, was that abortion is between a woman, her doctor, her partner, and her God. And to me, a statement like that means that Dr. Jen is completely out of touch with her Democrat Party these days, because when I hear the Democrats address abortion, you never hear them speak about the woman's partner or the God. It's generally just, you know, abortion on demand in any case, anywhere, anytime. So I think that if I were giving her any political advice, which I'm not, I would go back and revisit that statement and her position on abortion.
So you like the traditional Democratic line where it's between a woman and her doctor and that's it? No
physician. No, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. But what I do like is someone who says that they are a Democrat and they're going to represent the Democrat Party. I think that they should be, you know, I'm not going to say in lockstep, but I think they should be in line with where the Democrat Party is today and not put out verbiage like that that would appeal, you know, generally speaking, to a lot of independents and maybe some borderline Republicans. I'm not saying she's doing that as a way to garner support in a primary primarily Republican district, but, you know, I'm not saying she's being unfair. I just think that if she's unaware, she's out of touch with the way the Democrats are today.
Well, she may well be, but I doubt that she's out of touch with them, but she chooses to go a slightly different path. If you didn't hear all of what she said, she did mention that she is a lay minister in the United Methodist Church. So I suspect, given that, her positions are going to be somewhat faith-based.
Well, and I invite you to do what you said you would do, listen to the podcast, then call back and give us further reaction, because I think some of her previous comments inform the segment that you did here. So, all right, thank you so much, Mike.
One last
please
comment.
Go ahead, Mike.
The term safe, rare, and legal, which used to be applied
you know, in the Democrat quarters, that's completely gone. I mean, I would have fallen over last night if I would have heard someone say safe, rare, and legal.
Well, Bill Clinton might have if he was there, although he may have abandoned that now, too.
I think so. Hey, listen, good listening to you guys. I really enjoy your show. You take care now.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Pat, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, what's Dr. Jen running for? I missed out.
85th District House of Representatives in Pennsylvania.
Okay, yeah.
Special election.
I live in Texas, but I'm here working, and when I heard her talk about minimum wage, that always sounds so good, but it just doesn't work. What happens is an employer, if a minimum wage goes up, expenses for the employer go up, and he only has three choices. He can raise prices to the consumer. He can fire an employee because he can't afford all of them, or he's going to go out of business. And to illustrate the point, I've got a friend that I grew up with who's an unrepentant socialist, and they were talking about raising minimum wage. And I says, well, I forget the amount that was in question, but I said, you're stingy. You know, if $15 is good, $20 is better. Why not make it $50 or $60 an hour for minimum wage? He said, well, they can't afford that. Exactly. And some of these employers, if the minimum wage goes up 50 cents or a dollar, they can't afford it. And then back to their choice. They can either raise your own prices or fire somebody or go out of business. Minimum wage is just, it hurts the people it's supposed to help. Well, entry-level people.
Who is paying the minimum wage? When I go down the strip, I see the fast food places advertising $10, $11 an hour to get
right.
it.
Right.
But that's the marketplace
right.
determining the rate.
Right. So, I think the minimum wage conversation is important, particularly as it was in 2008 and 2009 and, you know, back in the late 90s. But I think now it's not as critical. But all right.
Right. It sounds Thank good. You. And when you're talking about, I live on the Mexican border. So when you're talking, I hope I can tune in when you're talking about the wall and immigration, because I've got some firsthand experience down there and exactly what goes on. So I'll try to keep listening when I can, okay?
Yeah, great. Please do. Very
yeah,
much.
You can get us anywhere with the WKOK app.
Yeah, on okay. your phone.
Oh.
Oops, I'm sorry. I think I cut off his last word.
I
sorry
believe you did.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. Feel free to give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners sends us a note. Does not like the reference to mindlessly following the Republican Party. Joe, would you read the top one?
Right. He says, this is one of our texters. He says, the arrogance. She's calling people stupid. That's not what she said. She said they
not
were
at all.
Being misled.
Well, and I think what happens is you had folks like Merle Phillips and Linda Schlegel-Culver, and to a certain extent Fred Keller, who just follow the Republican Party in many ways. Now, Fred is very independent, I will say that. But in many ways, they follow the Republican Party, and they convinced local people that that was the way to go. If you could get them to speak in a prolonged interview, Merle Phillips would say, you know, I recognize that some of my votes aren't necessarily ideal for some of my constituents, but this is what the party wants me to do. So he would, you know, he would vote that way.
But he was
wasn't
in the leadership.
Of it
he was in the leadership, and so he almost was obligated to.
Right.
But
there was
on
a
the
lot
other
at
hand,
stake for him.
He was able to produce a lot of results for this area just because he was in the leadership. So it was a trade-off, and I think Merle would have been the first person to say that.
1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. Lance, last caller before a quickie break. You're on the mark, or we're reacting to the interview with Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay.
Okay. Why, she is arrogant. I listen to her in person. And she comes off that way, at least to me and everybody else there, that we're a bunch of mindless boobs.
You have to speak up just a little bit.
There's we like are a bunch of mindless boobs here in our area that we don't know what's good for us.
I heard that.
Yeah, okay, that's true. But, you know, on this abortion deal, what turned the tide on the Higgins pigeon shoot was when they were saying, imagine yourself as that pigeon, okay? And on the abortion thing, I'm looking right here at a picture of the latest addition to our clan at 20 weeks old. And if you can't say that is a human being at that point, I don't know, you're blind. I mean, I see arms and legs and mouth. You definitely know it's a little girl. So, but everybody seems to leave that out of the picture and only look at the selfishness of the people involved. It's just something. I think if more people could actually look at that, but they will not allow a person who wants to get an abortion to actually see what they're doing. Don't you think that you should do that?
Yeah, well, let's go back to your other comment for a minute. You know, I think you could ask yourself, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Did the leaders turn people into Republicans, or did the Republicans select leaders? You know, I think people in this area are basically conservative, and they've been conservative. Mm. Probably they probably would have been Whigs in the 1850s.
That's exactly the next thing I was going to say, and that is that if you hadn't agreed with what the Republican Party stood for, you wouldn't have joined it in the first place.
Right. Well, at least in general. I mean, I don't agree with everything the Republican Party does, but I certainly don't agree with everything the Democrats do. But I still think the Republicans come closer to my philosophy than the Democrats, and so I'm a registered Republican.
Right. Well, see, in like Europe, they have like dozens of different political parties. And every election, they've got to get together and do a coalition of what is going to move legislation forward. Well, we've already done that in having a two-party system.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just be a mess after every election if we didn't do what we do.
Yeah.
All right, since one of your questions came up with Dr. K, I'll read the next text while you're on the line, Lance. Listener says the death penalty does deter the convicted from ever committing any more heinous crimes. The problem is the extended, and he doesn't say it, but I know he means it, expensive appeals process.
Yeah. Well, it does definitely deter the person that committed that crime from committing another one.
Well, that's true.
Well, actually, it prevents them from committing another one if they actually are executed.
But yeah, whether they ever committed the initial crime or not.
That becomes an issue sometimes.
All right. Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking
in, buddy.
Thanks for being a good listener. Appreciate that.
1-800-795-9565. We got to take a quick break to stay on schedule, but we'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. It's 9:25 in the morning. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer, so we want to reintroduce him. Joe McGranahan and I are enjoying an open phones Thursday here. We're about to launch into Joe's retirement shortened weekend tomorrow.
More than that, my retirement lengthened vacation.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you got
We're
11
going on vacation.
Yeah, you got 11 days off. Yeah,
right.
I won't be here next week. Joe won't be here. We are going to have best of segments, and you may
and
be
I'll see more, and if there ever was one.
Or you could be listening to one right now, as was made famous in a fine local movie. This is as good as it gets, so it'd be easier to select. But I was trying to say that Rob Center is fabulous, no matter whether we're excelling or not, so we appreciate him. Matt Cotrillo does a super-duper job, but he's got the day off, so hopefully he's relaxing. And we do have in the studio, or in the newsroom, Taylor Schultz is monitoring things over there, and she says, so far, so good.
Is she clacking?
I do not. She should probably is recording right now. So she's going to record the 10 o'clock news.
All right. Well, we have an email from Than. Than, put your glasses on, buddy. You typed a three-letter word here that doesn't seem to fit the rest of the sentence.
It's not a bad word, though.
No, not a bad word at all. Well, four-letter words are bad. Three-letter words are okay. We'll just paraphrase this, see if we can get it right. Lance says calling people misinformed is putting them down, and then says women aren't smart enough to make their own decisions. Believe me, Lance, women know a lot more than you do about their bodies. I doubt if they need help making hard decisions. Thank you, Than.
All right, 1-800-795-9565, the telephone number. The Democrats enjoyed a debate last night, and lots of folks saw that.
You enjoyed it?
Well, I saw the first half of it. Well, I don't know if I enjoyed it. I watched it so that I could discuss it.
Well, you mentioned two of the candidates, Beto O'Rourke and Cory Booker, launched into Spanish.
Right.
And I thought it was funny because they showed Stephen Colbert some of his show last night. He poked fun at it. And instead of interpreting, you know, how the subtitles would say that you are what you're saying in the foreign language, they just said speaking foreign language.
That's the subtitle.
Well, that was what Stephen Colbert said, they said. But
that's funny.
But yeah, what's the point of that?
Is that pandering?
Yes, it is certainly pandering.
But on the other
hand, with a capital P,
there may be a segment of the population that doesn't understand English.
Well, so I speak German, let's say. Why don't we speak German then?
Okay.
This is the United States of America, okay, where the majority of us do speak English.
And the famous, well, never mind. The fact is that I thought it was pandering, and that prompted one of the hosts to ask a question in Spanish. And you're like, what is happening here? I'm supposed to be informed, and he's using his 1 minute to say something I don't get. So, but maybe other folks see it differently. I would love to hear, what did you think of the Spanish language last night? The technical glitch not that significant, or the president says it was truly unprofessional. So I guess these mistakes happen.
You look at the candidates last night, and I didn't see all of it. Unfortunately, I was without power in Shamokin Dam.
You were powerless.
I was powerless.
Oh, which explains your tiredness.
Yes, because I was up all night waiting for the power to come back on. Hard to sleep when it's warm and the air conditioning.
Why don't you turn the...
I brought my generator up, but I chose just to power up the refrigerators and the freezers.
Okay.
In any event, and one small light in a fan.
Anyway.
you look at these people and you say, okay, well, how do they break out from here? Who won? Who lost? The consensus was that I heard this morning from the talking heads on all three networks is that Elizabeth Warren, and I won't call her Pocahontas, had a good night. They also felt that Julian Castro?
Yes, that's correct.
That he did very well in an exchange, rather heated exchange, between himself and Beto O'Rourke. And really, O'Rourke just continues to show himself as an absolute lightweight as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he's so young, and he's like an amateur in this venue.
Well, they're all eating his lunch.
So, Elizabeth Warren did fine last night. I think they all did okay, but it made it clear that some folks you would not, I don't think, would be able to carry the party banner. So,
you bring up a very interesting point there.
So that and it should be telling tonight because they'll have the experience of last night to draw on. Joe and I are going to talk about this for a little bit, but if you have an opinion about last night's debate, the president's tweets, the Spanish language portion of the program, and it did not have subtitles while they were speaking in Spanish. Most of it, they say they translated right away, but maybe you have a different view on that. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Call us now on this topic. We're not going to dwell on the Dems, but we're going to talk about them briefly here. 1-800-795-9565.
Well, this interesting story from last night's debate. MSNBC's Donnie Deutsch and Lawrence O'Donnell have a tense exchange after the debate. Deutsch and O'Donnell had a fire exchange Wednesday night over whether any of the 2020 Democratic candidates on stage during the evening's primary debate can beat President Trump. Deutsch urged the panel to not shoot the messenger, and they promptly did afterwards, but he said he did not believe Senator Elizabeth Warren can defeat Trump in a general election. If we're honest with ourselves and we look hard at ourselves, I think a lot of people will agree with me, Deutsch said. After the debate, I also think that when you can label someone a socialist, 57% of this country thinks that word is un-American. I'm not saying it's fair. When he, Trump, can blanket Elizabeth Warren as a socialist, and he's on stage with her, the Democrats lose. When asked by MSNBC's Nicole Wallace who could beat Trump, Deutsch responded by saying, "The Joe Biden we want can, but no one on the debate stage could." And that did not sit well with O'Donnell. He said, "Let's just identify this for what it is. Pure guesswork a year and a half away," O'Donnell said. "And so it has, and Donnie, I say this respectfully, zero value." Well, you know, quite frankly, if you're going to say that about Donnie Deutsch, you could say anybody's political opinion at this point is worth zero.
Well, particularly you got 20 people. You know, was that wasted time last night? Yes, one.
Well, you only
of
had
them.
10 of them last night, right? The other 10 tonight.
True, yeah. So 4 hours of wasted time. So is the whole thing folly? But you know, voters in the primary states next year are going to have a big choice to make. So we might as well get the opinion started. Seems so interesting that you know the Iowa caucuses are months and months and months away. So
well, then of course
but they have to get their name out there.
The other consensus I heard this morning, and I heard this from MSNBC, was that New York's mayor
De Blasio
looked like he was desperate. You know, the coming across
well,
as overly aggressive. And like, the one commentator this morning said, "Yeah, let's face it, people don't like him."
Well, and yeah, that could be. I know he's been mayor of New York, so he has that experience, but he didn't come off as somebody who was, he sort of came off, in Lawrence's worthless opinion, like he was on the wrong stage, like he went in the wrong studio door or something, because these are all global topics about which that, you know, he doesn't have any experience. Now, some of the other candidates don't have experience in these areas, but some of the senators do. So I think that fit a little better. Well, it should be interesting tonight. You got the Bidens and Bernie Sanders, so you start to get some more of the folks that are sort of talked about a little bit
you
more.
As an informed voter, and if all the candidates were roughly equal, would you choose someone who had experience as a governor or someone who was a senator? See, I would go for the governor, because the governor has actually been responsible for making a budget, doing all the things the president does, but on a smaller scale.
Which
the
senator is not.
No, and they don't have any administrative experience necessarily, unless they held the governor's position somewhere along the line.
Who were our most successful presidents?
Ronald Reagan, who was a governor.
Okay, and an actor.
Right. Bill Clinton, who was a governor.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, Franklin D. Roosevelt, who was a governor. Of course, Dwight Eisenhower was a military leader. Harry Truman was never governor. He was a senator, but he was very successful. So, I mean, there have been successful gubernatorial and senatorial presidents.
But being a governor is sort of that comprehensive skill that it may be helpful.
It's roughly
as
the
president.
Same sorts of things. They have to deal with the legislature. They have to try and get their agenda through. They have to administer or supervise various departments trying to achieve certain goals. So, I mean, I think the experience set is very similar between a governor and the president. So I think a governor, to me, has more experience going in, even though he may not be in foreign affairs, but you can get somebody to provide the expertise you need. I don't know too many presidents who have been experts on foreign affairs.
Now, let's suppose you don't have the benefit of the debate last night because you were electricity impaired, but if you had to vote for one of the Democratic candidates for president, let's suppose there is no Republican candidate and, you know, constantly just preserving your 401k is no longer an issue, who would you vote for among these 20? Well, there's 25 of them.
25, right? I think there should be a 26th line on the ballot. None of the above.
Okay, so none
of those last night. I wouldn't vote for any of them last night.
Okay.
Although I think certainly substantively, and while I disagree with her, Elizabeth Warren did offer a lot. She has a lot of opinions. I mean, you don't doubt where she's coming from. She'll tell you. And she has a lot of positions on her website, and she's releasing policy statements almost every day about this or that. So she is running a campaign that's based on very serious stuff, and I've got to give her credit for that.
Maybe that will help.
Might help her.
Last night, her performance, if you want to call it
that. I think
she
was the highest rated of those who were there.
Afterward.
Well, I think she had, 5%, and the others, I think, were somewhat less than that. I think she's the only one who had.
They had to have, 1% to get in?
And certain number of contributions from a certain number of people from a certain number of states.
Okay,
so it was kind of a convoluted formula that I don't think I completely understand.
Well, but they want to keep folks, they can't just open up the podium to anybody that says, "Hey, I'm running for president," you know.
Well, I mean, Joe Sestak announcing his candidacy.
Over the weekend, so that was too late.
Does that pass the who cares test?
I don't know.
I mean, what does he bring to the table that isn't already there and offered by 20 other candidates?
Admiralty.
Right. He's the only one who's been an admiral. Okay. You're right. You've got me there.
All right. So we are going to take a quickie break. If you wish to weigh in on the Democratic confab, give us a buzz. Now is the chance
tonight's
to do
part
so.
Two.
All right. Absolutely. You get to watch more. Maybe you'll even see this one.
Bernie, Joe, and who else?
Kamala.
Buttigieg and Kamala Harris. Yeah.
Yep. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565, our telephone number. We are 100% open. The topic of your selection, you can use that, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236.
Okay, you're a good old Alabama boy. You're going down south, and you always like those trucks that we talk about here.
Absolutely.
From Sunbury Motor Company. Well, a rural Alabama car dealership is giving away a Bible, a 12-gauge shotgun, and an American flag with the purchase of any new or used vehicle as part of its 4th of July sales promotion. Chatham Ford, a dealership in Chatham, Alabama, went viral for its God's Guns and Freedom campaign, not God's, God Guns and Freedom campaign, that's running till July 31st. The dealership's general manager, Kobe Palmer, talks about the offer in a Facebook video that now has more than 60,000 views. In the video, Palmer cocks his rifle in one hand, holds a Bible in the other, while standing in front of a pickup with an American flag draped over its tailgate. Palmer says the sales team came up with a promo to align with his town's values. It's a safe community. They're very proud of their country, and almost everybody here likes to hunt. He said, insisting the 4th of July inspired campaign is meant to be patriotic, not political. We don't want to get anybody, getting the wrong idea, he told Newsweek. It's not like we're just walking around and handing out guns. He said the dealership partnered with certified firearms dealers in Alabama and Mississippi. When a customer buys a vehicle, they'll be given a certificate to be taken to an arms dealer who will then conduct a background check. Once the background check clears, the customer must also present a bill of sale from the purchase of the car to then get the gun free of charge. This is just showing support for our local community, he told USA Today. Anyone that doesn't 100% agree with what we're portraying, we're not trying to force our beliefs on anybody. We respect anybody that disagrees, no matter how vehemently they do it. Palmer said customers are not required to take their giveaway if they want to buy a car from the dealership. Yeah. You must be 18 years of age or older to legally own a gun in the state of Alabama. So what do you think?
Well, that is a wonderful idea. In fact, everybody should be forced to take
the Bible?
All of those things. You should be forced to take it. That way, whoever gives you any grief while you're driving will know you have a shotgun on board. It came with the vehicle. It's standard equipment.
And the American flag and the Bible? What of them?
Well, that's okay, too.
Okay.
What kind of shotgun? We really have to explore this. I mean, if it's
a 12-gauge, it says. Well, but most of them are 12-gauge
shotguns.
Is it
a Winchester or Benelli or Mossberg? I mean, there's a big difference between shotguns.
I don't know, but don't you think this kind of sell gives the wrong idea? I mean, there are gun raffles and things like that across the country. And I think what they're doing here is correct, the way they're doing it, but the TV ad or the commercial doesn't play up the fact that, you know, all the things you have to do, all the hoops you have to jump through to get the gun.
Well, you have to have licensed to carry the Bible, right? Or no, I mean to get the shotgun.
Really? We haven't gone that far yet, have we? Have to be licensed to carry a Bible?
Not yet. That's where we're headed, though. All right, 1-800-795-9565. What do you think of the idea of getting a Bible, a 12-gauge shotgun of unknown make? I mean, there's some shotguns I wouldn't want.
You're more worried about the brand than you are the
concept. Well, I am. This is very important. Well, okay. Some shotguns are $1,200, you know, but you can probably, a Mossberg double barrel, if there is such a thing, would probably just be about $200 or $300. So it depends on how much value you're going to get out of it. So, and the flag, of course, we could always use another one of those. Our flag out front's a little bit faded. Time for
replacement. Oh, you get the truck, too. And it's a Ford.
Oh, yeah, you get the truck. I'm really just buying the shotgun, and if it comes with a truck, all the better.
It's a Ford dealership in Alabama. I don't know whether our good sponsor would take on something like this or not.
I would highly suggest it. I think everybody should be forced to carry at all times. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We would appreciate a call from you. Tonight on TV, you'll be able to see Andrew Yang. Do you know who that is, Joe?
Well, he's probably a Democratic candidate for president.
Correct. Eric Swalwell.
Don't know him.
Marianne Williamson.
Not familiar.
Michael Bennett.
Never heard of him.
John Hickenlooper.
Heard of him. He's a former governor.
Kirsten Gillibrand.
I know who she is.
Kamala Harris.
California Senator.
Pete Buttigieg. Bernie Sanders. And Sleepy Joe.
Okay, Sleepy Joe Biden.
Right, who has a mental deficiency, says Donald Trump, which is a strained accusation coming from him. But anyway, so that's who's on TV tonight. So we did talk about the debate, but we'll take all comers if that's what you wish to discuss. We also have a car dealer in Alabama who's got a gun, a Bible, and an American flag.
Does he have a shotgun?
With every truck. All right, we got calls coming in. Joe, thank you so much for calling. You are on the mark.
Oh, good morning, man. Last night at the debate, I was interested in the question, I think, just paraphrasing probably, about raise your hand. So it was like an out-there binary choice for Medicare for all. And I know Elizabeth Warren raised her hand, but I think de Blasio did too. And I think they were the only two that did. And what do you think how that would do in the general election? I'm not saying it wouldn't help them, you know, in the primary to get to the Democratic nominee, but I mean, they keep quoting this like 160 million to 180 million people that have private insurance now that are not going to want to give it up after they dig into the details of Medicare for All.
I'm not quite sure what you're asking, but in any event, it would be expensive.
How would Elizabeth Warren do, say, on a debate stage with Donald Trump, and you were asked who wants Medicare for All or who wants, you know, private insurance, and she would raise her hand for Medicare for All? So how would, I mean, I think it's going to, she might win the Democratic nomination, but yet again, she may, you know, get to the election against Trump, and that is that's a negative for a lot of people, a majority in the United States, I'm pretty sure, of getting or, you know, running on Medicare for All.
All right. Yeah. Noted. Okay. And pay attention for that answer tonight. You might end up hearing something that relates to that tonight. Well, thank you,
thanks,
Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Call again.
Secondary, though, have you heard? You've heard of John Delaney? He was on the far right side of the panel.
Oh, last night. Okay.
Yeah, last night.
Yeah, there were a couple of obscure candidates.
And he gave an answer, like when he's on the trail, that you know, the top four or five things are. And when he got down to fifth, he said people aren't really interested in the impeachment of Donald Trump, and that no one else was. I mean, that was his statement. He wasn't asked about it directly, but you know, that wasn't like, well, what do the other candidates hear when you're out on the trail? So I thought it was kind of tampered down by the networks or the questioners that they didn't want to get into that and let the public know in this venue that it's not quite an important issue as the networks seem to make it.
All right. Okay. Noted. Thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate the call. I'll tell you what this is going to be.
He was still talking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry about that, Joe.
I think he was saying goodbye. This will, of course, be great fodder for Saturday Night Live this weekend.
I'm sure it will be.
That's what we're going to look for. The deer in the headlights look last night of Tulsi Gabbard, and speaking in Spanish, I have a feeling we're going to have a field day this weekend. All right, we have a car dealer who's given away a 12-gauge shotgun, unknown brand and value, American flag.
And notice you're not concerned about what Bible he's giving away. What if you don't like that particular version? Is it American Standard, Vulgate? King James?
As long as it has both testaments, that's all I need.
That's it, huh?
Okay. Al, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in. You going to buy one of these trucks?
I got it all. Like every one of those things.
Oh, you already have them. Okay.
And spares. And then I have stickers on the back that say, speak up for the unborn, vote pro-life, and help America, pray the rosary. Got it all. And I think they should give it to all the candidates that were up on the stage. Everybody should get a truck, a Bible, and a flag, and
a shotgun.
And a shotgun, and learn from it. Take the experience that we, the American people, enjoy as a free country, and not what they can give us, it's what they can do for us, that we can help ourselves and fulfill the American dream.
What can you learn from a shotgun?
How to hunt for yourself,
okay,
and how to defend yourself if need be, how to be safe, responsibility, how to keep it clean, all that.
Well, I think
there's a lot to be learned from everything there.
But not from the gun itself. But anyway,
the gun won't teach you anything. You've got to learn about the gun.
I think the gun should be kept in the rear window of the truck at all times, on a gun rack behind the head. That way,
that's a good point, because
maybe a deterrent.
How many people would go into school if they knew that there was people in there with guns ready to go at them?
Well, that's another topic.
I can remember kids in high school coming to school with guns, rifles, and racks in the back of their cars.
What, they're over 18?
Yeah.
If they're over 18, and they know, they went through all the courses and they're qualified, and they don't have any, charges against them, and they've been cleared, I don't see a thing wrong with it.
Okay.
All right. Teachers should be packing too, but that's another topic.
We got enough laws in this country buy them, and I think we'd be fine.
You said you wanted to give all the Democratic candidates who were on the stage last night the gun, the Bible, and the American flag. Aren't you worried about having 20 or 10 armed people up there on the stage debating one another?
No, it might turn out pretty good.
Okay.
I won't follow that one up.
We'll call it crop reduction. All right.
Very good, Mark. Very good.
Thank you.
If it doesn't work
so
on the stage, they can chase each other around in the trucks.
All right. Jeez, thank you.
Appreciate
that. 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners says, would Sunbury Motor Company be able to do this? The answer is no, they can't do the federal firearm checks. They would have to go to a licensed gun dealer, as they do in Alabama. So, Lance, stand by. Quick break. Open line. 1-800-795-9565. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. 5 minutes left in the show. 5 minutes in Joe's retirement shortened week before he begins a 11-day
retirement
respite period.
Lengthened vacation.
All right, so we appreciate him being here. We'll take more comers. Speedy dialers only at this point. 1-800-795-9565. Lance, thanks for your patience. You are on the mark.
Okay, I'll do this in a minute. And that is, no thing is made. There are three things that make manifest our freedom and responsibility. One is, of course, the Bible or religion. You have the freedom to worship as you choose, and you have the responsibility to follow what's inside, to live your life that way. The other, of course, is your firearm. That's freedom to have that firearm, and responsibility and everything that comes with it. And of course, your automobile. That is our freedom of movement that we have nowhere else on our planet. And all those together, and you remember something, and that is that citizens own firearms and subjects do not. And that's the truth. And if I could say here about what Fan, I think he misunderstood here. And that is the fact that, illustrate, I did this before. With my right hand, I reach under my left arm, pull down my favorite .45 pistol. I aim it in the general direction of your chest and squeeze the trigger twice. I did all that with my own body, did I not? And that's what an abortion is. It's one human being killing another, period. Okay?
What about the flag, though?
Yeah, you forgot the flag.
On the truck. You said the truck's key to transportation.
All that is made manifest underneath that flag.
Oh, I see. So that's sort of the overriding banner.
Yeah.
Literally.
You don't have any problem with the Bible being used as a sales and commercial tool trying to promote guns and the American flag and the sale of trucks?
Well, no, promoting his business as being an honest man.
Well, you don't know he's honest.
Well, no, but he's putting on like he is. And, flaunting with the guy is honesty.
All right, that's what he's touting.
I think that's what the idea is.
Okay. Well, that may be the idea, but it may not be. I think the real idea is to sell vehicles. I think that's the real idea.
Well, sure.
Joe's not skeptical. He just doesn't believe it.
I'm just a little cynical about it.
Oh, yeah, a little. All right.
You
thank you.
You've got to be more of a true believer.
I'm working on it. I have 7 days or 10 days to try as we go on vacation.
Oh, wow.
He's a good Catholic and a misled Republican. So, all right. Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the call.
I have that ring in my nose.
Any big... so we can lead you around.
Lead me around.
Any big plans in the next 11 days?
Yes, I got a lot of work I want to get done.
Okay, at your house?
Yes, things need to be done.
All right. Well, tomorrow we will do a new live show and...
Who's coming in with you tomorrow?
I just said state. I was just going to start state, but nope. U.S. Congressman Fred Keller's coming in.
Oh, Fred's coming in. Okay, who's doing who's your co-host?
Mr. Ben Reichle.
Oh, Ben's going to be on tomorrow. Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's good. It'd be nice to see Fred back. This is his first time back in the district since he was elected, or has he been back?
Oh, I'm sure he was back last weekend, or...
Oh, yeah, probably
other weekends. I don't know of any other public appearances, but I don't. We don't go to everything and don't know about everything.
I remember seeing a story that he had relatives who were living in the Washington area. He was going to be staying with them. But as I remember, Tom Marino slept in his office. So you might want to ask Fred where he's sleeping.
Where he sleeps. Okay. We got to
skip
the border issues and the omnibus bills voting on. And he voted no on a couple bills this week.
They were talking about, Olivia Ocasio-Cortez was talking about how they need this cost of living adjustment because the salaries have been fixed since 19 something or other. They've been stagnant for quite a while.
They've been
now.
Overpaid for a long time.
But they point out something that is true. They're forced to live in two different homes. They have to have some place to live in Washington, and then they have to maintain their residence back in the district. So is it unreasonable to pay them a salary commensurate with maintaining two residences?
I don't know. What is the salary? I don't even remember. I'll have to
look that up. 174?
Oh, is that what it is?
I think somewhere in that neck of the woods. But, you know, it brings up an interesting point. You know, you could say, well, they need a living wage to maintain two homes. But originally, it wasn't supposed to be a career. It was supposed to be a sacrifice, that you sacrifice some of your time and your personal fortune to serve your country.
All right.
But it has no longer become a sacrifice. It has become a career.
All right. What do you think of the pay raise and where are you sleeping? These are Joe's question.
All right. I'm sorry. I won't be here to ask them.
Well, you can listen. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We do have another show tomorrow at 8:30. Then Congressman Fred Keller will be here, and then we'll have open phones, and we'll have best of next week. And this is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.